gunman pulled up, stopped rather suddenly, took aim at me, his gun jammed, giving me time to jump behind the gas pump. His gun started firing, shot my truck up, shot the gas pump, hitting me in the shoulder with some scrap. And he then pulled around between me and the store as a lady exited the store, shooting her multiple times, and then turned back to me to shoot me again. And I moved around behind the other side of the gas pump, and he sped off at that time, heading toward Geneva. And from there, I don't know really the details from there, but that's what happened at the store at the gas station.
One of the guys that Michael McClendon was actually shooting at with that assault rifle, 28 years of age. I mean, what would have caused a guy to snap like that? As a matter of fact, it seems like he was a pretty normal guy. Clay King, who was the mayor of Sampson, said he actually knew the guy.
I've known Michael all of my life. As a matter of fact, I coached him along with my two sons in T-ball and Little League. And if you had asked me 2 days ago if he was capable of this, I would have said certainly not.
Now, the scary part about this is we may have a Michael McClendon working with you. Maybe you were sitting right across the counter from me here. Maybe Mike Wolf. What could set him off? I mean, somebody is in your family. What are the signs that these people are going to go postal, for lack of a better term? Joining us this morning is Dr. Patrick Wannis. He's a Miami human behavior expert and PhD. Good morning, Doc. How you doing? Good day, I should say.
Yes, good day, Russ. I think the first thing you have to realize is that there's never just one cause. There are so many elements that play into this. And you said something interesting when the mayor said, I didn't think he was capable of this. One of my colleagues, Professor Phil Simbardo, has been studying our capability or our capacity for violence for more than 30, 40 years. And what his studies and research revealed is that every one of us has the capacity to do this, meaning that there is good and evil within each one of us and what's going to trigger us. And there are so many elements for us. First, we never hear in these stories were any of these people on any sort of medication, on any sort of antidepressants. Another one of my colleagues, Dr. Peter Bregan, has written various books, including Medication Madness, where he reveals how some medication can lead to murder, death, suicide, and other acts of violence. That's number two. Number three, we have to look at the individual and say what sort of stress was going on in their life, because there are three stages of stress. The first is, and I'm talking about the stress response, how we respond to physical, mental, emotional stress in our life.
Yep.
And our body responds with what we call an alarm stage, where our body starts to send all sorts of chemicals, and it's ready basically for muscular action. If we continue to have highly elevated levels of stress, we go into the third stage, which is burnout. Burnout can lead to the kind of things you just saw, a guy that, as we say, snapped, a guy that can commit acts of violence. And then the other thing is, if you look at almost all of these cases, because we have another situation in Germany where a 17-year-old boy did the same thing and went on a shooting spree and killed 15 people. Then we have the largest killing in American history within a school of the Virginia Tech massacre. Often, when you go a little deeper, all of these people have grievances. Michael McClendon, we had a list of people that had wronged him. So did, and the guy from Virginia Tech, from the Virginia Tech massacre, also had in his diary and other writings, lists of people that had hurt him, people that had wronged him, people that had, in some way or another, mentally or emotionally persecuted him. When you put all these together, it's not that unusual that it's possible for someone to do this.
Yeah, but Dr. Wannis, I mean, we all have these little mental lists that we have in our minds, and you say to yourself, you said a moment ago, we all have it within us to become a Michael McClendon. When we feel ourselves getting that way and we know we need help, what should we do? Should we call a counselor right away? Should we call 911? What do you do?
Well, obviously, you have to go to help when you start to not only write out a list of the people that wronged you, but then you want to go and wrong them back. You want to hurt them back. When you start to get, look, we all have little fantasies sometimes of saying, that person, even we're in the car, and someone, almost sideswipes us or cuts us off, we have the instant urge to want to punch them or to shout or cuss at them. Now, that's a natural response, but when we keep feeding that thought of wanting to hurt the other person, when we start to actually visualize what it might be like to hurt that person, that's when we're going down a path
where
we immediately need help.
Doctor, it's Mike from the newsroom, and I keep seeing this in a lot of people who have the hardest time with life every day, that they just don't get it, that things go wrong in life, and a lot of people who can't hold on to a job, it's not their boss's fault. The problem is with them, but somehow people who are incompetent and don't fit in seem to turn this against other people and make it their fault.
Well, you're exactly right, and part of this is almost the victim mentality, that the person that's been wrong for so long has felt like a victim and has felt powerless and now wants to get his power back and wants to take control of his life, but he does it in a way by taking other people's lives. If you look at Michael McClendon's situation, and well, obviously a lot more information is still yet to come, but not only did he have a list, but there was also a lawsuit. He was taking out a lawsuit with his mother on behalf of his mother. He was recently forced to resign. So it sounds like there was a combination of things that came together that led him to do this. But we all have to be aware that, yes, we can have thoughts of wanting to hurt someone, wanting revenge, wanting payback. When we start feeding and nurturing and nourishing those thoughts, it's time to get help.
All right, I'm still looking for warning signs that somebody next to me may be a real potential hazard. I mean, you got keeping lists of those who have done you wrong. Are there any other little telltale signs we could watch for?
Well, you know, they said here that this guy was shy, quiet, laid back. But was he always like that, or did he start to withdraw? Look for people that start to withdraw, because that's one of the signs of the third stage of exhaustion of the stress cycle, social withdrawal. If a person starts to really socially withdraw, he starts to become extra quiet, he starts to look down a lot, he's not connecting with people, you know that something is wrong. That doesn't mean he's going to snap, but it means that he's under a lot of stress and he's not performing, he's not being productive, or he's showing up late a lot to work. Now, the final element of this is, you know, the guy in Germany puts on his military gear. This guy, Michael McClendon, had automatic weapons. So be aware of also, you know, which people have access to guns.
Well, he was a former police officer. That's probably why he had the automatic weapons, possibly.
Well, and I know that there are people within the town that are calling for a ban on automatic weapons, because when you have someone who's setting out to hurt, he can hurt a lot more people with an automatic weapon.
Real quickly, we've got about 30 seconds here. Now, in a situation like this, will they do an autopsy to check to see if he was on any kind of antidepressants or drugs at this point?
You know, I'm not sure about that, Russ, but I think that if you do some research on the web, there are some very quiet studies looking into the link between antidepressant medication and violence, murder, death, and suicide. And not enough of it is being done, because people don't ask that question. They look for the obvious. Oh, he must have been an angry man, or something else. And what they don't realize is there are a lot of medications that are mood-altering. You are taking chemicals that affect your brain.
All right. So we're out of time here this morning. Dr. Wanis, give us your website real quick.
PatrickWanis.com.
Patrick Wanis, WANIS.com. Have yourself a great day, and thanks for being with us this morning. It's always a pleasure. Regular contributor to the radio program.